Today we're going to return to our study called Pictures of the Church. It's been said that a picture is worth how many words? 1,000 words, right? And as humans, we often think in pictures. That's just the way our mind often works. And so when God wanted his people to better understand, the relationship that we have with God and the relationship that we have with others, he's given us word pictures in the Bible. And so far, we've looked at 8 of these pictures. A quick review, you may remember them. Number 1 was we are sheep. Number 2 is we are branches. We are new creatures. We are the body. We are the bride. We are family, right? We are citizens. Last time we learned that we are the salt of the earth. And after Jesus said to his disciples, hey, you guys are the salt of the earth, he went on to say this, you guys are also the light of the world. And so the picture that we're going to look at today is this picture of light. The passage I want to begin with today comes out of Matthew 5, again, the Sermon on the Mount. Matthew 5, verses 14 through 16. Familiar passage. Jesus said, you are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before men, that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. Well, what can we learn from this picture of light? How can you and I, as disciples of Christ, be the light of the world? Well, the first foundational truth that I want to lay down for us today is we can't miss this crucial point, and that is this, is that God is the source of light. God is the source of light. True light only comes from God. Why is that so important to lay down first and foremost? Because we may think, oh, okay, pastor says be light. Okay, how can I be light? I can do this, and I can do this, and I can be involved in this, and I can go over here, and I can do that. And we may jump right into trying to be the light without understanding that without God, we have no light. There is no light in us apart from God in us. The Apostle John would say it this way. In 1 John, he would say that God is light. In him, there is no darkness whatsoever. And when Jesus talked about this topic of light, listen to what he says. John records this in John chapter 8, verse 12. John says, when Jesus spoke again to the people, he said, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. And yet he also said to his disciples, hey, you guys are the light of the world. Well, who is it? Who is the true light of the world? Is it Jesus or is it his disciples? What's the answer? Both, right? It's both. Why? Because the disciples got their light from who? From Jesus. Jesus was the source of their light. We must understand this, that any light that we have as disciples living in the year 2018, any light that we have that comes out of us must begin with God in us. This light that's being spoken of is a supernatural light. It's not a natural light. It doesn't come from the natural man. It comes from our supernatural God. And apart from God's grace, we would not have this light within us. We would not be born again. We would not be alive were it not for this supernatural work of God by the power of the Spirit in our hearts. This is how the Apostle Paul describes conversion for us in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 6. Let's look at that. Paul says, for God, who said, let light shine out of darkness, made his light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. Again, the only way we can truly shine is because we've come to see the light of Christ, the glory of Christ in the gospel of Christ. So before we go any further, I need to stop and ask you all this very important question, and I know many of you have heard it 1,000 times, but I need to ask it again. Have you come to that place where you have seen the light of Jesus Christ? Have you come face to face with the living Lord Jesus Christ? I'm not asking if you've, you know, seen some kind of supposed image of Jesus on the Shroud of Turin, or maybe seen his face in a burrito like some people claim to have seen. I mean, have you embraced Jesus of the gospel? Have you embraced the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ? Who is central to the gospel? What is the gospel all about? The gospel is all about this, that we by nature have dark hearts. Our hearts are dark because they're sinful. And by nature, we run away from God's light because our deeds are evil, and we don't want God to expose our dirty deeds to done dirt cheap, right? We don't want God to expose those things. And so by nature we run, and we hope we never have to stand in the light of God's glory, in the light of his presence, because we know when we get there, we're going to be guilty of sin because we know there is darkness in our hearts. And so many people today are just, as Josh said, run to God, but they're running away from God. They don't want to face the light of his glory. And that is why many people will come up with theories to say that there is what? No God. Because if you can come up with that kind of view of God, that he doesn't exist, then guess what? There's no judgment. That means all my dark deeds are, I'm off the hook. If I don't have to face God someday. But I think every person, if they're honest with their own soul, they know this. There's this nagging thought that knows that there is a God, and he is a God of light, and he will expose my dark deeds on the day of judgment. And the beauty of the gospel is this, that if you understand that your deeds are dark and that your heart is sinful, you can run to the light of God's goodness. You can run to the light of his grace that's found in the person of Jesus Christ, who hung on a cross, who bore your sins so that you could be forgiven, have the mercy of God, have the light of God shining in your heart and your soul. And if you've never come to Christ, I mean truly come to Christ, perhaps you've been around a lot of light in your life, but maybe you've never bowed your knee to the Lord Jesus. You've never surrendered. Your heart is still dark. You're still playing in the dark. You haven't come into the light. Today, come into the light of the glory of God that's seen in the gospel of Jesus Christ. If you haven't, turn to him today and be saved, be forgiven by his amazing, amazing grace. And my prayer is that each and every one of you here would come to believe the gospel of Jesus Christ. And if you have any questions about how to know Christ, please don't leave here today without asking me, asking someone how you can know Christ and know the light of his love that is incredible. So what can we learn from this analogy of light that Jesus gives here to his disciples? Well, just three things I want us to look at today. And the first is this, and that is light is good. Light is good. In Genesis 1, what do we read? God created the heavens and the earth. God said, let there be light, right? And there was light. And when God saw the light, you know what he said? It's a good thing. The light is good. I think most of us would agree, right? Light is good. I know when I'm sitting in my favorite recliner over there, when Bree's not sitting in it, when I'm sitting in my favorite, inside joke, but when I'm sitting in my recliner, over there in the living room with these nice big windows we have in the living room. And when the sun is beating through the window and hitting my skin, I'm singing a little James Brown right in that moment. I feel good. There's something warm. There's something good about this light that just hits your skin. You can say amen to that, right? Isn't it good when just the light hits your skin? It's a good thing. And so what God is saying here is just as the light is good, so too, let your deeds or your works be good. That's what Jesus says in Matthew 5:16. Let me read that again to you. Jesus said, in the same way, let your light shine before men that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. A couple weeks ago, we spent some time talking about good works or good deeds, and I'd encourage you to read Titus 3 again. That's the passage we looked at when we talked about good works in our lives. And I don't want to rehash all that, but I do want to repeat this one thing. And that is, sometimes as believers who are saved by grace, and we know we're saved by grace and not by works, we emphasize that. I'm not saved by works. What often happens is we sometimes devalue or de-emphasize the importance of good works in the life of a Christian. It's easy to do that. We can fall into that trap because we may think, gee, if we emphasize good works too much, then maybe we're going to confuse the gospel. But Jesus would say, no way. You keep doing all the good you can do. You do lots of good works, because that will actually help clarify the gospel for many people in your life. That will help them to see the gospel better. Your life that is filled with good works. As we look in our Bible, we find lots of commands to do good. We're called to be devoted to good works, to be eager to do good works. Apostle Paul would say this: you've been created in Christ Jesus to do this, to do good works, which God has prepared before the creation of the world for you to do. Walk in those ways. So be about goodness. Be about doing good works, because that is one way that you can shine for him. Well, the second thing we can learn from Jesus' words is that light should not be hidden. Light should not be hidden. I want you to all look up right now. Look up. What do you see? You see lights, right? Lights are on the ceiling. Why are lights on the ceiling and not on the floor? Because if they're on the floor, there's a chance that one of them might be under your seat right now. And while that might warm up your seat, which would be good on a cold day, it's not going to give off much light, is it? No, we put a light out or a lamp out so that it will light up the room. This is the analogy Jesus gives here. And he says to his disciples, hey, you guys know what a lamp does. What is the purpose of a lamp? You don't have to have a PhD in electrical engineering to know the purpose of a lamp, right? It's to light up a room. And so who in their right mind would light this lamp and then take a basket or a bowl and cover it up? No, but he said, that's foolish to do such a thing. It's the same with you. Let your light shine before the world. Don't hide your light. Let it shine, as many of us learned, right? As 3-4-year-olds, this little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. This is what Jesus is saying here. And when we think about letting our light shine, it's important that we keep in mind that Jesus is not saying that we're to be tooting our own horn. You know, he says, let your light shine before men. And so we may think, well, gee, I got to tell everybody all the good stuff I do, right? As soon as I do a good deed, I'm going right on Facebook and I'm going to let the whole world know the good deed that I did. Now, there's nothing wrong with posting something good on Facebook, but what is the motive behind the good work? Is the desire for self-glory, lots of likes, lots of praise from men, is that the motive for the good work? Or is it the glory of God? You see, if it's for the praise of men or for self-glory, and Jesus would have an issue with that. This is what the Pharisees were guilty of, were they not? And Jesus called them out on this sin. Let's look at that in Matthew chapter 6. Verses 1 through 4. Jesus said, be careful not to do your acts of righteousness before men, to be seen by them. If you do, you will have no reward from your Father in heaven. But when you give to the needy, do not announce it with trumpets, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and on the streets, to be honored by men. I tell you the truth, they have received their reward in full. But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. You may be saying, wait a minute, time out here, Pastor. I'm a bit confused, because on one hand, Jesus is saying, let your light shine before men that they'll see it. And over here he's saying, hey, do it in secret so that men don't see it. What are we to do? What's the point? Jesus is simply making this point. When you do good works, do them humbly. Do them to be seen by God and God alone. Now, if people happen to see what you do, so be it. Let God handle that part of the equation. Your motive, my motive, should be to bring glory to God. The motive for doing a good work is because I know this is going to honor God. This is going to please God. And God will see it. God will reward it, no matter whether men see it or what they may say about it. This is the point that Jesus is making here. Another point that Jesus is making in Matthew 5 when he speaks about not putting a lamp under a bowl is this: don't be ashamed. Don't be ashamed of serving Christ. Don't be ashamed of speaking about Christ. Don't be ashamed of living for Christ, because if you do, that's how you hide your lamp. You put the bowl under it when you're not willing to let the world know who you are as a believer in Christ and what Christ has done for you. Let me ask you, do you have a boldness when it comes to sharing with others what God has done for you and through you? Or do you always hide it? You're always so worried about what people will think. Listen to what the Apostle Paul said in Romans chapter 1, verse 16, a man who is not ashamed to make his light shine. He says this: I am not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God for the salvation of everyone who believes, first for the Jew, then for the Gentile. So number one, light is good. Number two, don't hide your light. Light needs to be seen. And number three is light exposes the darkness. As you seek to shine your light, don't be surprised if people don't want to see your light. Why is that? Because as you shine, as you speak about who God is and what he's done for you, keep in mind that the natural man does not like the light of God shining upon their darkness. When that darkness begins to, quote, invade their space, maybe you've heard people say, hey, just get out of my stuff. Don't get in my business. When you begin to talk about sin things, that's the light of God exposing their darkness. And the natural man doesn't like the light shining upon them. Listen to what Jesus says in John chapter 3 in regards to this truth. Jesus says, this is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but men loved darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil. Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear that his deeds will be exposed. So when you are filled with God's goodness and you're not ashamed to share God's goodness and the gospel, keep in mind that as you declare it, you know, some people may not respond in a positive way. Some people may actually, you know, kind of cover their faces and not want to hear what you have to say. Have you ever had someone turn the light on when you didn't want the light on? Maybe it's 3 a.m. and the light goes on and it's the wifey and she says, I think I hear a noise somewhere. Could you check it out, honey? And you say, no, you check it out. No, but just kidding. No, but maybe that's about you just young people, have you ever heard this? The light goes on, it's early in the morning, and you hear a voice saying, rise and shine, time for school. And what do you want to do? You take the pillow and you're like, I don't want the light in my face, right? You just want to hide from that light. This is a picture of natural man in his sinful condition. By nature, he doesn't want the light of God. Why? Because Jesus said their deeds are evil. They don't want to come into the light because those deeds will be exposed. I want to look at one more passage today about shining our light. It comes out of Ephesians chapter 5. Paul says, for you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. live as children of light, for the fruit of the light consists in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. And find out what pleases the Lord. Have nothing to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness, but rather expose them. For it is shameful even to mention what the disobedient do in secret. But everything exposed by the light becomes visible. For it is light that makes everything visible. This is why it is said, "Wake up, O sleeper, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you." Notice in this passage, Paul emphasizes living. He says, live as children of light. Live this way, don't live that way. And if you want specifics, just look at the verses prior to this passage and the verses after this passage as to what would be deeds of darkness and what are deeds of light. He lets us know there. But again, it's living. Are we living as children of light? Not that we never have to speak about the light, but there's a great emphasis on living in the light. A story is told, I think I've shared it in the past, but maybe you've forgotten it because I couldn't remember all the details. But a story is told of Billy Graham, who once went golfing with a few other guys. One was President Ford, one was Jack Nicklaus, and another one was another golf pro. And so they did their foursome, they golfed, and when they got back, one friend said to the other golf pro, he said, "So tell me, you know, how was it golfing with Billy Graham and with the president?" This golfer began to curse and swear. And he said this, he said, "You know what, I don't need Billy Graham stuffing religion down my throat." And he went off to the practice tee and he just started driving golf balls. He was beet red. His face was red. He was just so ticked off. And so his other friend was sitting on the bench watching him. And finally the guy calmed down. He came back to his buddy. And so his friend said to the golf pro quietly, he said, So Billy was a little rough on you out there. And the man said, he didn't even mention religion at all. I just had a bad round." And so what do we learn from that picture? Sometimes as believers, we may not even say a word. But just because people know that Christ is in you, and because Christ is in you, there's certain things that you know are right, you know are wrong, and you let those things be known to those around you. That light of Jesus may make people uneasy and uncomfortable, and you may not even have to say one single word. And so when that happens, have compassion on the sinner. Have compassion on the one who may be very angry just in your presence. Why? Because as Paul said, we were once darkness. We were in their shoes. Oh, please, believer, don't look down your nose at the one who's still in darkness. Don't look down your nose at the sinner, because that was us. We were in darkness, were it not for the grace of God, when his light shone into our hearts and transformed our lives. Be the light. We're the church. Let us be the light. Jesus said, "You are the light of the world. Let your light shine." Let's pray. Father, we thank you. First off, for your light that is good, your light that is holy. We know that without holiness, no one will see the Lord. And so we thank you, God, that you've chosen us. You've revealed yourself by your grace. You've opened our eyes to see the beauty of the gospel of Christ. And you've put your light and your word within our hearts. And so, Lord, may we be those people who are shining constantly for you, Lord. Not just as we share the gospel, but by our actions, by our submissiveness, by our humility, by our willingness to help the down and out. Whatever it might be, Lord, I pray that each one here would seek your face on how they can be light, how they can do good works in your name for your glory. So, Lord, guide us in this. Help us to be the church. Help us to be the light in this dark world. Give us a heart. Break our hearts for this world that is still in darkness and needs your light. We ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.